Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines. It's presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We welcome in longtime sportscaster JT John Telich, who joins us this morning. JT, how are we doing, sir?
We are doing fine, Rocco. It looks like winter's real close, but a fun Halloween a couple of nights ago as we had a lot of ghosts and goblins, and then, of course, we've seen a few of those in the final moments of Browns games, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. As the calendar turns to November, it is officially Mariah Carey season in the eyes of many, as the carols will be sung. Starting at the beginning of November here. But, yeah, absolutely right. Some scary times for the Browns. They lose a heartbreaker in Seattle to the Seahawks, a game that they had really up until those final moments. Obviously, the late interception really turning that game on its head. But that led up to the trade deadline earlier this week where the Browns were active but not super-duper active. What do we make of the Browns trading away Donovan Peoples-Jones?
Well, I'm still a little curious on that because I still think there's talent from this young guy, and I don't think it's fully been developed on the professional level for him. This is his third season, and it was kind of apparent because there was no overture towards any kind of an extension before the season, so his name got more and more prevalent in the trade talks. And it's a perfect landing spot for him in Michigan, being a former Wolverine and all that good stuff. So I wish, seems like a heck of a young man. So wish him nothing but the best with them. Does that mean we're going to see Tillman more? Will we see more passes to Moore? Will we see will Goodwin figure more? How about David Bell? I don't know. And the weird part about this offense this year, Rocco, because Kevin's kind of tweaked it a bunch of different ways. When Nick went out to help the running game, he has more heavy packages. When you have Nick Harris in there at times, he has the quarterback rolling out. He's got this past game, he had more screen play, throwing to the tight end more. We've seen Njoku, who's had a pretty good year in my estimation. He's done a lot of things differently per se. And then you've had this who's who at quarterback each week. So that second or third receiver doesn't seem to be bringing you much bang for your buck, you know? So if they trade away DPJ, he does well elsewhere. Of course, fans here will be gnashing their teeth and being upset, but was he really being utilized in the first place? I don't think he was. So will this mean when you trade him away that Kevin's going to concentrate on getting more passes towards the other receivers not named Cooper? I really don't know. With the quarterback situation, everything seems to be up in the air, Rocco.
Is there, additional concern with that quarterback situation? I think a lot of folks thought the Browns might make a move for a quarterback at the deadline. Yeah. Josh Dobbs' name being thrown around, Jacoby Brissett. Obviously, they'd be more plug-and-play options. There were some other names that were tossed around as well. Yeah. But ultimately, it looks like, as long as Deshaun's out, it's looking like it's going to be P.J. Walker for the time being.
Yeah, it kind of does. But then there were, you saw DTR got in for one play on Sunday, kind of, changing things up. There's been rumors floated about, and as we speak now, it's late morning on Wednesday. The players haven't spoken to the media yet, nor has Kevin. Kevin, will he be vague on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday this week the way he was on Monday? That's very much a possibility. There's so many mixed signals, and they kind of led us astray early on with this Watson thing that's now at basically 5-6 weeks. If they didn't make a move, people are saying, well, it's because they think he's right around the corner. Well, I don't know if that can exactly be the fact. Maybe they tried to make a move and just couldn't get something done.
Yeah.
Maybe they had other issues they're working at. But I can't think of anything more important to this franchise that's being currently held hostage by the injury to Watson, and then who can adequately get in there in his place if this becomes a long-term option. Certainly Jacoby would have been a sensible thing to do. He played here. He's loved. He's respected. He's big. Even for those short yardage situations, we saw what he could do a year ago. That would have been the most prudent thing or smartest thing to do, but it was not accomplished. And we don't know behind the scenes exactly the reasons for something like that not taking place, nor do we know the exact details inside that shoulder of Deshaun Watson, because it's been, you know, it's been a guy like on a high wire getting almost across Niagara Falls, and you think you've got a solution with a backup quarterback where you won a couple of games with PJ and you're near the end and with a possibility of winning a third game with PJ Walker as your quarterback, and then all of a sudden the wind blows strong and the guy with the pole falls off the cable and down towards Niagara Falls. They just can't get things done because that quarterback situation has been holding them hostage for weeks now.
And you know, I'm glad you know your last line there, quarterback situation kind of holding them hostage. Is it holding Kevin Stefanski hostage, and is he kind of worthy of some of the criticism that he's getting right now? I know a lot of people were very upset with the decision to throw the ball even on third down, which ultimately led to the interception, which allowed Seattle to take the lead on their ensuing drive. Is he worthy of some of that criticism right now, or does he kind of get a pass because I mean, look, he's playing with PJ Walker as his starter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they had a chance to win three games in a row with P.J. Walker as their quarterback. I thought up until that decision, and again, I'm not going to sit here and beat his brains in for it. It happened, you know, 4 or 5 days ago, as it were. But I thought he called a real good game with the screens, with the rollouts, with the heavy lineup with Nick Harris, with the committee of running backs. They ran for more than 160 yards. It's just a shame they didn't get three more or gave themselves the opportunity to get three more. Otherwise, they could have salted the game away. So, you know, Kevin by nature is a little more aggressive. And there were instances that we've seen in these recent games where, he was aggressive, but he had more of a feel for the game and knew when to punt, knew when to play it safe and all of those types of things. I just thought the more prudent, again, I'm not going to bash brains in for this, the more prudent thing would have been to see what you can get at third and three. If you don't get enough yards, well, then you're on the other side of the two-minute timeout, as it were, and you can line up on fourth down and you know, try to draw them off sides, or you can just go for it, and because Kevin's shown himself to be that way in the past, go for it and end the game right there. But it was really unfortunate that not only does he make that quick throw over to Cooper, but it just happened to have a helmet in the way of the ball heading towards Cooper. It was just really unfortunate. And again, you were very close to having Kevin Stefanski lead the Browns to a third straight win with the third quarterback that they've used this year, which is, you know, bordering on, I guess, normal in Berea.
Again, we're talking Cleveland Browns football with John Telich on this morning's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by Northridgeville's Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Defensively, JT, any reason for concern on that side of the ball? I mean, they're looking a little more mortal, I guess, in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think we had them in Canton way too soon early in the year, and they were fantastic. So, you know, I'm not going to knock them for how well they played, but they've had some trouble in these recent games, the beginning of the games and the end of the games. Are they going to be, how do you remember the defense? The team that allows, you know, the Seahawks to take a 14-0 lead? Or are they the defense that had seven straight third down stops to enable the Browns to get back on their feet and actually take the lead in the football game? And here's something you just can't deny. In the last two games, they have given up 62 points and 818 yards, and the amount of big-time drives that they've given up is kind of concerning. And, you know, they're still having problems at times bringing people down. There's been a lot of yard after contact. There's been people that get contact, and they still allow them to get into the end zone. That's not how you have, a tremendous defense. And so how are you at the end of the game? You gave them the football, I think it was on the 43-yard, their own 43-yard line, and that would have been a kind of a take-notice moment for Schwartz's defense. Stop them from getting a touchdown, obviously, or at least only allow a field goal and let them continue playing. And they couldn't get the job done. In fact, they went down the field fairly quickly with very little in terms of timeout and options for them, and they got the game-winning touchdown with the kid from Ohio State. So, the blooms off the rose as far as they are concerned, but still overall in some categories, they're among the best in the league. They got to close the game. Just have to close the game.
Well, a chance to bounce back and close out a game on Sunday, as long as it starts well, against the lowly Arizona Cardinals, who have just traded away Josh Dobbs earlier this week. He's now a Minnesota Viking, obviously with the unfortunate Achilles injury to Kirk Cousins. But Arizona Cardinals coming to town again. We won't be seeing our friend Josh Dobbs. We might be seeing Kyler Murray. Not really sure, again, as we talk here on a late Wednesday morning, early afternoon. Not sure what his status will be for Sunday. But what do we make of this matchup with Arizona? And I'm thinking Kyler might play if they made that decision to trade away Dobbs.
Yeah, I guess we're going to just kind of be held in suspense here for a few days or so. I know there's a lot of things that are fluctuating out in Arizona as we speak anyway. But weird thing to consider, as much as we're doom and gloom and everything, the Browns are a wild card team right now. I mean, as we stand here today before they play their eighth game of the season. But what can you expect? This is certainly... Everyone in Berea has to have the finest tuned-up attention towards this game as possible, because what's looming after they take on the Arizona Cardinals is the Ravens at Baltimore, the Steelers here, the Broncos. Okay, that's not something to really worry about, but maybe the Broncos are starting to get a little bit of their equilibrium in their new regime with Sean Payton. You have the Rams in Los Angeles. Then you continue along the lines. The Jags have proven to be, one of the better teams. So they come here. The Bears come here. That's nothing to worry about as much, if you will. And then the Texans away, finishing up with the Jets, and then of course the Bengals. They're a wild card team right now, and if they could only get to the point where they know the situation with Watson, and he comes back to the form that seems like 10 decades ago. But comes back to that form, then you've got a lot of cause for optimism. And I think they get their equilibrium back, and they'll have a good home game against the guys from Arizona and get their feet back under them and go up to 5-3. I fully expect that to happen. My goodness, I don't know. Are you going to be quarterback, or is it going to be? I just don't know. But I still think that they've got a good option for them this week to get their feet back under them and get a win before they go on a kind of a tough stretch.